and just open with one small quote of Ralph Waldo Emerson saying, knowledge is when you learn something new every day. And I learned something new. Never miss one of these meetings because you get a big surprise later on that evening. So with that said, I just want to say that I'm honored to step up as the chair, and I'm very proud and honored. Thank you for your confidence in me, and I look forward to us pushing forward with eliminating hate in Orange County, and I know that we will continue to do great things. So thank you, and I would like to move on to Amy with our opening inspiration.
I like your quote very much, and I have just a very short quote from Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and I must be feeling her because I actually am wearing my Ruth mask today as well. Justice Ginsburg once said, one lives not just for oneself, but for one's community. And that quote really inspires me as a person, but also I think really reflects what we're doing as a commission, that we're here on behalf of the community. We're here to serve the community. And I think for me, one of my greatest joys in the last year as a commissioner have been those opportunities when we've been interfacing with the community directly, and before COVID when we were able to do so in person, and really appreciating the robust community participation even during COVID, which just heartens me in knowing how valuable everybody's partnership is. And so that's my point.
Thank you, Amy. And moving on.
Okay, next is item number 3, the monthly summary of commission activities.
Okay, so that would be me. Our fiscal year just started for July 21 to June 22. The commission activities, as you can see on page 6 of the agenda, this is our second meeting. So we've accomplished one HRC meeting so far. And we've held 4 of the Chief's Advisory Board and Sheriff Interfaith Council meetings. 14 of the Outreach and Relationship Building meetings. And 4 of the support to hate crime victims, and 1 on outreach on speeches and presentation and so forth. So it's just the second month, but we, you know, you can tell our commission the staff have been very, very active already. In regards to the police community relations, staff met with Tustin Police Chief Advisory Board meeting this month. And staff also started to connect with the different law enforcement agencies in an effort to reintroduce the commission's work and the new staff. So I think the building of relationships with the community-based policing is probably on its way. And then we also have the intergroup relations and relationship building, and there's a whole slew of activities such as commission staff presented a Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander inequity group to the service the commission staff efforts and its programs. And then, I can go through all of them, but there's been a lot of staff activities with the different types of groups in Irvine, with the Hate Crime Prevention Network, UC Irvine, the Sheriff's Academy, and Cypress College. And so, great job. I think we're off to a... I know it's a marathon, but it looks like they're off to a sprint. So that's it.
Thank you, Commissioner Lee. Moving forward.
Okay, next we have our open forum for comments. If anybody wishes to speak regarding anything on the agenda or within the subject matter of the commission, please hit *9 on your phone or hit the hand raise icon on the Zoom app, and you will have 3 minutes, and I will run the timer. So far we have 3 requests. We'll give it a little bit longer. Okay, the first one I saw is Felicity Figueroa. Okay, go ahead, Ms. Figueroa.
Okay, thank you so much, and wonderful to see all of you this morning. I just wanted to say that I am overjoyed that the Commission will be discussing ethnic studies today and hopefully approving a resolution to support its implementation in all Orange County schools from kindergarten through 12th grade. Coincidentally, I was listening to a presentation by the creator of the term critical race theory, Kimberly Crenshaw, just yesterday. She was explaining how the inclusion of ethnic studies in our public school curriculum is the best way to create a more inclusive democracy, as she thinks the one we have now with so much disinformation is currently, quote, on life support. Today, our school curriculum is being hijacked. Fake history is being disseminated through inaccurate textbooks, and many state legislators are demonizing the introduction of terms like intersectionality, structural racism, implicit bias, diversity training, and even the New York Times 1619 Project in a blatant attempt to hold on to power, a power that rests on falsehoods and does not include the well-being of the majority of even their own constituents. That's why I believe a truly comprehensive ethnic studies program must include all marginalized groups in our community, because any account of our history that is not fully inclusive will leave wide gaps in our understanding of who we were, who we are, and who we can be. Ethnic studies does not villainize any group. It simply lays out the facts of our often not so wonderful history. We are not too fragile to hear and accept the truth of what has occurred and is still occurring in our country, and of the people who have suffered and continue to suffer from our actions, especially in the hopes that by knowing and owning up to the reality of our past and our present, all of us can do better in the future. So thank you so much for bringing that up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next is Pat Davis. Go ahead, Ms. Davis.
Good morning, and thank you. I'm in a car, so I hope I'm audible, and I'm not as prepared as I usually am looking at the agenda, but I am so pleased that Dr. Montano is here this morning because of what I've been watching at the Board of Ed. I've been an observer there for quite a while, and the decline in just the thought process alone is quite frightening. As a grandmother to many in Orange County, as an old white woman who's benefited from working in a higher ed system that did talk about and teach ethnic studies, I'm so encouraged by the statements and the work of the group, I believe last meeting, on trying to come up with a way to speed up, have a format, and be able to move forward in making statements in a timely fashion. So thank you to the group that worked on that. My concern still goes to certain affinity groups, which I know Human Relations ends up working a lot with in high schools when they are singled out. And I don't know that ethnic studies will cure all that, but the idea that that's going to move forward, I think the strength of your statement and the background that each of you bring to it is quite significant. And I do hope that the Board of Supervisors will move forward on it. And again, the OC Board of Ed just reminds me painfully so that elections matter. And I'm hoping that this next round we've got some other folks to move forward. So again, thank you for your work, and I'll listen as best I can on this mountain road. So thank you all. Have a great meeting.
Thank you. Okay. We have two more. The next one, I'm probably going to mispronounce your name, is Naz Hamid. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for inviting me to give you some comments. It's really nice to see all of you here today, and I'm deeply appreciative of all the work that you do every single day, and especially when it comes to ethnic studies. So I am here as a parent from Irvine, California. I have raised two children through our public school systems, and I am South Asian, and I understand their history books and have been involved in their education deeply. And I'm here to support your efforts in the implementation and adoption of ethnic studies in K-12. I think that we owe it to our children to have them have an understanding of their history, of their heroes, of their presence in the United States. So understanding Black issues and concerns and their history, indigenous issues and their history, Asian American issues and their history, as well as Latinx, I think are a very critical component of our children's education and making sure that they become reasonably informed as global citizens. So I'm here to commend your efforts in providing your support through the work that you do. And I hope that you do put forward a resolution today in adopting ethnic studies in K-12. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Okay, next is Fatima. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Fatima. I'm a member of the Palestinian Youth Movement here in Orange County. I have some concerns about the current ethnic studies model curriculum, and I urge the OCHR to vote no. The California Department of Education succumbed to a lot of right-wing pressure and allowed predominantly white right-wing interest groups to define ethnic studies. Such groups should not be able to override the work of actual ethnic studies scholars in determining what should be incorporated into the ESMC. Ethnic studies emerged as a discipline in order to resist the history of U.S. racism, colonial conquest, and enslavement, and to center colonized communities who have been the most impacted. However, the California Department of Education enlisted non-ethnic studies scholars and right-wing institutions, and as a result, completely sanitized and watered down the curriculum to exclude an analysis and critique of racism and other systems of oppression. What we need in Orange County is a liberated ethnic studies curriculum that actually adheres to the principles of ethnic studies, which are anti-colonial, liberatory, and anti-racist. We demand a true ethnic studies curriculum, not multiculturalism. The current California model curriculum is actually a betrayal of everything that ethnic studies scholars in California worked on, to the point that they actually removed their names from this curriculum. And it's also especially telling that the veterans of the original 1968 Third World Liberation Front and Black Student Union strikes that led to ethnic studies as a discipline have spoken out in opposition to the current curriculum as well. We demand that the ethnic studies model curriculum be rewritten by the ethnic studies educators of color to reinsert lessons about Arab American history, including Palestine, within the Asian American studies section of the ethnic studies model curriculum. Ethnic studies scholars agree that it's impossible to understand Arab American issues without understanding Palestine. So I urge the OCHR to vote no and to advocate for an anti-racist, anti-colonial, and truly liberatory ethnic studies curriculum for students. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next speaker, we have two more, is Karen Hernandez. Go ahead, Karen.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to echo a lot of what has been said here today, and thank you all for your support and your work on this. My name is Karen Hernandez. I am a proud alumna of the Fullerton Joint Union School District, and I've lived in La Habra my entire young life. I don't have children, but I did attend schools here, and I graduated from Sonora High School in 1993. And, you know, I think that when I was growing up, we needed ethnic studies. We didn't have it. And, you know, seeing what has happened in, throughout my life, it's very clear to me that we need it now, I think, more than ever. Ethnic studies is the history of all of us, of how we become, you know, this great melting pot nation and the obstacles we've overcome to get to, you know, every new plateau of something great that has happened and the challenges that, you know, as a nation that we still face. And by looking at a role that's played by race, ethnicity, class, gender, sexual orientation in American society, ethnic studies provides a critical lens to examine and contextualize what's happening right now, why it's happening, and what we can learn from it. I mean, these are tough issues that of the everyday staple of ethnic studies. They reflect on us as a nation, as a state, as a county, as a city, and of course as a school district, our complexity, our divisions, and you know, we need the right tools to the messy reality that surrounds us. And by focusing on these socially constructed categories that lie at the heart of the American and educational experience, we can understand how we got here. So, you know, also ethnic studies, I believe, is an agent of change. Knowledge is power, the power to change the world. And if one thing distinguishes ethnic studies from other academic disciplines, it's a commitment for social change and dispelling harmful myths. Students will not despair. They'll act. I think the more we can empower them with information, you know, the better off they will be in the future. The civil rights movement, feminism, and more recently environmental justice and Black Lives Matter are just some of the countless social movements examined by ethnic studies, supported by ethnic studies, and in many cases comprised of people like you and me with a commitment to ethnic studies. So ethnic studies is more than just an academic discipline or a set of skills. It's a commitment to a life of justice and to empower the powerless and to speak for those who have been denied our own voices. So just, again, thank you for all of your work, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, last speaker is Paul. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you very much to the commission for having public comment on this, and I don't have many prepared remarks. So I'll just say that, you know, what Fatima shared earlier really, I couldn't have said it better myself. As a aspiring educator myself, who had the extraordinary privilege of taking ethnic studies courses at the university level, I really valued the progress that's been made towards ethnic studies in the K-12 system. But I would encourage the HRC today to really listen to the original authors of the first draft of the AB 2016 Ethnic Studies Model Curriculum, and to vote no on the present Ethnic Studies Model Curriculum, which is heavily compromised and, as was stated before, represents a betrayal of the values and principles of a authentic and liberated ethnic studies. So while this is an exciting development, I would encourage you to vote no today and move in a direction that's more authentic and more liberatory with the original model curriculum. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we did receive one more. It says we'll be the last speaker. I'm definitely going to mispronounce your name. I apologize. Fayez Nawabi. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Fayez Nawabi, and I serve as the Policy and Advocacy Manager at CARE LA. And I just want to speak in opposition to voting yes on ethnic studies. We believe that the ethnic studies curriculum model that has been pushed forward is not authentic to what ethnic studies should be about. This is why Angela Davis, the California Teachers Association, and educators spoke out against ethnic studies at the state level, because of how it was watered down and many voices were left out of the ethnic studies curriculum. So again, I'm advocating for the HRC commissioners to vote against this ethnic studies curriculum. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so that is the end of public speakers. Okay.
All right, thank you. Moving on to our speaker presentation for today.
Yes, item 4 is ethnic studies curriculum in K-12 education, what it means and what it doesn't mean.
And welcome, Dr. Montano.
Thank you. I absolutely, Dr. Montano, may I just, for just 1 second,
oh, absolutely,
just introduce you. I just want to say Dr. Teresa Montano is a professor in the Chicano Studies, the Department of the California State University of Northridge. It's the largest department of its kind in the United States. Her research interests focus on Latino education equity, Critical Multicultural Education, Bilingual ELL Education, and Teacher Education. And I just want to say for a second, Dr. Montaño, it's an honor to have you speak to our commission, and I appreciate Joanne the ability to introduce her. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anna. All right, thank you, Doctor.
Thank you. I am, thank you so much, Anna, for that introduction, and thank you for the opportunity and privilege to be here today. I am so encouraged and affirmed by the speakers who preceded this presentation. My job is done by the voices that spoke before me. You know, I just concluded a radio show with Tava Smiley about 15 minutes before coming on. And one of the things that he asked me was, given all the pushback that we see around ethnic studies in this United States against critical race theory, what are my feelings about where ethnic studies is headed? And if any indication is represented by the speakers earlier and by your willingness to step up and take on this subject, I told him I was hopeful and that I was optimistic because I do believe that ethnic studies will prevail in the United States and definitely in Orange County. You see, I'm the product of the civil rights movement and the turmoil of the 1960s. And I recently saw a cartoon of a young child holding up a picture of the Tulsa massacre before his teacher, asking, when do I get to learn about this? Okay. My political consciousness, my identity was informed not by those in the classroom. And I would venture to say that that's probably the experience of many of you here today. My identity was informed by Black entrepreneurs, pharmacists, and doctors who spoke of King and Malcolm. My first ethnic studies lessons were taught by these professional role models who were children of the Great Migration and who gave us, poor Latinos and African Americans in South LA, the opportunity for employment as we were going through school. My parents taught me my very first counter narrative, talk about critical race theory, right? Which basically says that we recognize that our realities are impacted by race and racism in this country, whether or not we be Black, white, Asian, Latino, or American Indian. And that counter narrative that was taught by our parents was usually taught to undo what the curriculum and the textbooks were telling us about our people and our history in this country. We had no ethnic studies in school, no teaching about the Tulsa Massacre, the Japanese American internment camps, the Zoot Suit Riots, or the tremendous contributions made by Americans of color. I was so thirsty for that knowledge that as a member of the United Mexican American Association, we protested an educational system. And I took my first Mexican American studies course as a senior in high school, 50 years ago. 50 years we have been waiting for students to have the opportunity that I had as an elective. You see, I know firsthand that ethnic studies saved my life. Is not a political slogan. It's not just about a discipline, a curricular framework, or a graduation requirement. Ethnic studies provides purpose, identity, reality, and hope for many of our students. What is ethnic studies? Ethnic studies is composed of four primary disciplines: Asian American and Pacific Islander studies, which includes SWANA and Arab American studies, Chicano Latino studies, American Indian, Native American studies, and Black studies. It provides the historical knowledge of people of color that has been a missing ingredient in the educational experience of all our students. It is an essential element of ethnic studies pedagogy. You see, for students of color living in the U.S., history taught and learned in our classrooms continues to be incomplete. a history presented that often ignores or dismisses centuries of exclusion experienced by people in the U.S. This view of U.S. history is countered only by ethnic studies programs, whose role has been to document the diverse histories and contributions made by Chicanx, Latinx, Black, Asian Pacific Islanders, and American Indian. For you see, the educational and social experiences for racialized communities is influenced by multiple forces that cause racial trauma, phenotypical stereotyping, devaluation of culture, legal discrimination, and historical amnesia. It doesn't mean that we are deficient, defective, or lesser than. On the contrary, we are a resilient people. In response to the devaluing of our people, our ancestors passed on their counter-narratives, their community cultural wealth, their intellectual traditions, and ancestral knowledge. And now, it is our turn to share the beauty of our culture, art, traditions, and knowledge with all of California's students. There are 6 million students in California. Every single one of them benefit from ethnic studies. Research shows us that ethnic studies, when taught correctly, can improve academic achievement. A study commissioned by Sleater further substantiates this point by concluding that the academic achievement and social well-being, not just for students of color, but for all students, is enhanced by ethnic study. Ethnic studies in high school not only improves academic achievement and strengthens a student's ethnic identity, it can also improve their mental and physical health. When students of color see themselves in the curriculum, they have an improved sense of belonging. In ethnic studies courses, every student has the opportunity to enter ethnic studies from their own space, their own positionality, their own perspective. Ethnic studies provides the entry points for each of those students to connect their experience and identify to the experiences of Black, Indigenous, and people of color. The goal is for all students to imagine and construct a stronger democracy. I think it's important, instead of telling you what ethnic studies isn't, to tell you what happens if we don't begin to address the issues that ethnic studies does. And that is, at its very core, ethnic studies is about improving human relations, anti-racism. The National Association of Early Childhood Education points out that even a child in a loving, supportive family with a strong, healthy community is affected by the biases of larger society, such as racism. And they may show some effects of this negative stereotyping and discrimination in school. The American Pediatric Association argues that racism can influence health across racial groups and communities. It also argues that if we were to address or interview an adult years later about their experiences as witnesses to racism, not targets or recipients of racist acts, but just witnesses to incidents of racism, that when we interview them 10 to 20 years later, that incident can demonstrate a long-term impact that is equal to that of a first responder. Ethnic studies narrows that educational opportunity gap. It has a profound psychological and physiological effect. It improves healthcare. It improves perception of self, community, and ethnic self-worth. And it improves the cross-racial and cross-cultural understanding of all of us. Ethnic studies brings together, it does not divide. It uses culturally relevant, restorative justice, trauma, and resilience-informed approaches for building the self-worth, self-actualization, and self-knowledge of all students. It is a tool we use to think about, understand, and strive for a more humanizing world by understanding and recognizing our differences in the systematic and structural ways that these differences have been constructed and used. It is authentic, inclusive, and honest. And in response to one of your speakers, it does create allyship and solidarity. It can help end the bullying and targeting of most marginalized communities. It is about leaving the classroom. Done well, ethnic studies ensures that as our students think, imagine, and construct a better world with a full humanizing view of all people who make up that narrative, even those who have been silenced, ignored, and maligned. I'm going to leave you with the In Lakesh, which to me symbolizes what ethnic studies is about. In the In Lakesh, we say, Si te amo y respeto, if I love and respect you, me amo y respeto yo, I love and respect myself. That is what ethnic studies represents. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Montano. Okay.
Are there any questions?
Are there any questions? Oh, I think I see. Ada, you have your hand up.
But just again, Dr. Montano, just thank you for being here. Thank you for your powerful words. That was definitely my experience. You spoke to my heart growing up as an immigrant here. So I really do appreciate your words.
Anyone else?
Dr. Montano, again, I also want to reiterate, thank you so much for your powerful words. I can really feel you, you know, through Zoom. And it really reminds me of when I was actually an undergrad and I was learning about myself. Actually, I didn't even know what I didn't know when I took my classes. And I also had a roommate who also went to Chicano Studies and Latin Studies, and she also discovered what she didn't know. And I want to ask you in terms of, you know, we're looking at the academic, you know, college side, upper higher education. From your point of view, what does it mean for K through 12? What does it mean for a kindergartner or junior high or high school? I'd love to get your perspective on that.
I think that, first of all, I think that as any educator, you would design the curriculum to be developmentally appropriate for those students, correct? To me, it's much like how we teach any subject matter. You know, when we teach math to a kindergartner, it's going to look very different than when we teach math to a university student. That would be the same for ethnic studies, right? Ethnic studies for a young child, which should be taught, including issues related to anti-racism and racial differences, because we do know that young children begin to recognize those differences very young, would be taught differently. I would use story. I would use art. I would use children's literature to maybe introduce some of the most complex questions. In high schools, we would begin to not just teach the subject matter, but to do, as one of your speakers said earlier, engage students in actually civic engagement and community involvement, which is also a part of ethnic studies. So ethnic studies at each step of the way could be a part of the curriculum. We would just need to make sure that it was developmentally appropriate. And the good news with the ethnic studies today is that each community, within reason, I mean, you're not going to, you know, not teach ethnic studies and teach something else, but can develop a curriculum and a program that meets the needs of that particular school district.
Dot, you have a question?
I did. Dr. Montano, thank you so much. As probably one of the older members, if not the oldest member of this commission, I related to what you said earlier about your own education. It's been within the last several years that, for me, I have become angered, not by my education per se, but by the omission of truth in my education as I grew up in Texas. And so as you nod your head, I know you understand what I'm saying in that small phrase. I have had the privilege of co-creating a teen group called Bigotry, Bullying, and Bravery, and we have at times gone in to the very things where what teenagers are dealing with. It was prompted by the bullying of a young man who is Muslim here in South Orange County, and who was being bullied by older students at the school. And so we worked on that. Each time we have met, we were not able to meet this past year because of COVID, but we would have over 100 teenagers coming, and we had it led by the teenagers, not by adults. We went through training, but we felt like the voices of teenagers to other teenagers would be stronger and the message would be stroner. I am wondering, and this is speculation that I'm asking you about here, but do you believe that if the ethnic studies are established and established well, that we can even see offshoots, perhaps after school gatherings or clubs that are not segregated, but indeed follow through with the curriculum as far as letting teenagers and preteens talk to each other and learn even more?
Absolutely. I think there is, as we look at child development within this, you know, this society at this point, there is a point in time, probably about middle school, when students are grappling with their own identity, when they do tend to gravitate to their own community. And part of that is learning about themselves, right? But organizations and programs like yours do bring those students together much earlier. And I think what ethnic studies does is that if we teach ethnic studies early, I feel better about who I am and understand myself much more than I would if I had not had ethnic studies, right? So it's similar to this. I was reading the other day that someone, we have kind of two parts of our brain. One that says, the unknown, I either flee, fight, or freeze, right? And that's for everybody, white students, students of color. If I enter the unknown, I'm going to flee, fight, or freeze, right? But if I enter a community where I feel positive about myself, where I've dealt with my own racial trauma, then I'm going to move towards humility, curiosity, respect. And curiosity is not, it's just kind of an opening. Well, maybe I could relate to other students. So organizations like yours and others are a critical component of ethnic studies. That is ethnic studies. Ethnic studies moves beyond the classroom and moves towards the changing of society and engaging in critical dialogues and relationship building, like the organization you talked about, is a central part of ethnic studies.
Anyone else have a comment or a question for Dr. Montano? All right. Thanks again. Thank you so much for being here. I mean, we could feel the passion. We could feel you through Zoom, and we appreciate your words, powerful statements. Thank you so much.
Okay. We've got item number on. 5 is review, discuss, and approve ethnic studies curriculum in K-12 education statement under commission letterhead for immediate release.
Can I add something before the commission continues on this item?
Yes.
I do want to make sure that we clarify what the commission is doing today. And what the commission is doing today is the commission is approving a statement in support of ethnic studies in K-12. The commission does not have the authority or power to be able to take any type of action on the actual school curriculum. I just want to make sure that was clear for all of our public members, and I know there were some comments around that, and I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page about what's happening today.
Yeah. Thank you, Norma, for clearing that up. Okay, I believe Ada, you're going to review the information. Oh, you're still on mute.
Thank you, Chair Matuba. I really appreciate your leadership. And I just want to say, before we go on to the statement, that I want to thank our former chair, Fareed, for appointing this working group. I really want to thank Norma for her tremendous help in drafting the statement and her group, in her team. I want to thank every single commissioner for their input on this item. And once again, thank you to Dr. Montaño for the presentation and everyone in the public for your remarks today. I heard every word you say. But I just want to say that, you know, we all know that our society has experienced a renewed crisis of hate, prejudice, and bigotry. And in our effort to find solutions to this crisis, we've made strides in bringing more diverse voices to the table and to seriously explore every solution in every space where it can occur. So as immigrants like myself, people of color who are often targeted with racism and xenophobia, I have experienced this as a young child at the age of 6 when I first came to the United States. I've also experienced it as a labor organizer. I've dedicated my career to uplifting voices of marginalized women and men, including immigrant and communities of color. Just as, you know, anyone may have experienced or witnessed hate as a child, today we see this issue coming forward in our classrooms in a different way, and it's exciting. And while, you know, the state has already gone through a process to prepare curriculum guidelines for ethnic studies, many Orange County school districts are exploring implementation or their own. So given that our mission is to seek out the root cause of intolerance and create a positive change in Orange County, you know, today we have a great opportunity to approve this statement of support, and hopefully we can have the staff please put up the statement of support. And we have two particular goals in this. One of them is for the approval of the statement to come from the committee, the commission, from us here, and get that out. But then also to seek to have the county supervisors approve it as well. So hopefully you've had a chance to all look at this this statement of support, and I'm not sure if it's going to be able to be shown.
I'm sorry, do you want me to pull it up and share
the
screen?
Yeah, I mean, if it's okay, it would be nice for our guests, and I know folks that have come to see this item and our commissioners to look at it one last time.
Yeah, absolutely. Before. Sorry, I didn't catch that. Here you go.
Oh, no problem. So, Chair Matsuba, I'll turn it over to you, but I want to just thank everyone for giving us the opportunity to speak about this important issue today.
Sorry about that. Yes, at this point, as Norma pointed out, we are not voting on whether it will, you know, how it will be presented in the school districts or whatever. We're voting on our statement that we would like to present, make a public statement. And this is the public statement that we will present. Has everyone had time to read over it, or should we read it together? I don't know.
I can go over it. In 2016, the Orange County Human Relations Commission released a statement endorsing ethnic studies classes because it believed in affirming the important yet underrepresented histories of our students and their communities, as well as their contributions they have made to this country. Today, the commission continues to believe that there is value in ethnic studies courses, especially since it cultivates a learning environment that promotes respect, understanding, and diversity of thought. Students of all ethnicities have an opportunity to learn about the experience, cultures, and perspectives outside of their own, and that is reflective of the diversity in the communities in Orange County and beyond. COVID-19 laid bare a cascading crisis that revealed multiple vulnerabilities among and between communities that are deeply entangled, differentially distributed, and gone from the screen. And stretched across geographical borders. This moment in time has magnified and intensified racial animus as witness in the rise of anti-Asian hate since the start of the pandemic. The richness of American history lies within the woven fabric of all lives, cultures, and histories that have contributed to its formation. Students engaging, connecting, and sharing experiences, histories, cultures, this enriches one's lives and expands one's worldview. Orange County Human Relations Commission believes that it is the key to building a better and more just future for all, and thus supports ethnic studies curriculum to be taught in K-12 schools, and that it be required course for all high school students. And at this point, we would take a vote, correct, from the clerk? Okay.
Yes.
I actually have a question.
Yes.
I can never remember my Robert's Rules of Order if I'm supposed to ask my question before or after the motion.
You can ask it whenever.
Before.
Okay, thanks. I know we've heard some comment today about curricula, and I was part of the group that developed this, so I apologize for raising this now. But my question is this. Do we have a stance on curriculum? I know one of the commissioners who couldn't be here today had a recommended edit to the amendment or to the statement. And so I just wanted to talk for a moment about curriculum and see if we wanted to add something in there about recommended edits. So I have, like, for example, and again, I'm mindful of the fact that we heard some public comment about this, so I'm just raising this, right? But the state, so to add that we support the state of California's ethnic studies model curriculum as developed on March 18th, 2021. I raised the idea of curriculum for this reason. So my background, as many of you know, is health education and health promotion. There's a requirement for comprehensive sexuality education in schools. Each district can kind of take its own stance on what curriculum they adopt, and I'm not saying that I want to tell the districts what to do, but what I am saying is that unfortunately some of the curricula that have been introduced are homophobic and not honoring who people are. And so I just want to make sure that as we go forward with this, because I do support this, that we're looking at best practice curriculum in our recommendation. And I was just wondering if there was space for that as well.
Ada, would you like to comment on that or feel that we could add that?
Yeah, I mean, having heard some of the comments that went, that were voiced, I feel that having a statement like it was drafted would be my preference. I just, you know, for many of the reasons that we heard Dr. Montaño speak about, you know, our statement of support should be as unifying as possible. And so I would like, I'd like to make a motion for this version to be adopted.
Do we have
this? This is Farid Farooqi, and I'll second that.
Thank you. And we take a vote?
Yes, I can call roll. So when I call your name, please let me know how you are voting. Commissioner Briceño?
Yes.
Commissioner Buck?
Yes.
Commissioner Dobie?
Yes.
Commissioner Farooqi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hamill?
Yes.
Commissioner Leach?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
And Commissioner O'Neill and Steinberg are both absent. And Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Okay. Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
And then the second part of this.
Okay. Item 6 is submit ethnic studies curriculum in K-12 education statement to the county for submission to the Board of Supervisors for review and consideration, and request the county send out a media advisory.
I make a motion to approve.
I second.
Who was the second? I'm sorry.
Leach.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. Chair Matsuba, would you like me to take roll?
Yes,
okay.
Please.
Okay.
Jamie,
yes.
It's Renee. Before you do that, I'm
yes.
sorry to interrupt, but I think the action was changed before the release of the agenda. Can you make sure we're reading the most recent? Board of Supervisors was changed to county? Since the board can't take any action outside of a board meeting?
Well, I know item 7 and 8 were added to the agenda after it initially went up. I don't recall, was there a change to item 6? Hold on.
I see it. It does say county.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's close to county. What's posted currently, Jamie?
Oh, you know what? I didn't pick that part up. Okay. Yeah, no, there was a change. So what Jen and I apologize, sent me for item 6 on page 4 of 12. I did not pick that up on the other part of the agenda. But yes, what was sent was submit ethnic studies curriculum in K-12 education statement to the county and request the county send out a media advisory. There was that.
Yep.
Okay, so we will strike then, as long as the maker of the motion and the second is okay with striking out that other portion, we can move forward. So Commissioner Briceño and Leach, removing Board of Supervisors.
Can you give just a little bit of clarification on that for me, just a moment, please?
Yeah, so I did not pick it up on the agenda that was posted online. Well, there were page 4 of 12 is another agenda that was posted, but the main agenda that was posted outside my building and that is front and center online, I left in the Board of Supervisors to the title. So if you are okay, I believe that is all.
If Ada restates her motion, I
will strike that.
So I'm sorry, Jamie. I'm having a little bit of a hard time following.
Sorry.
It's not a substantial. It's
no.
It's not.
It's nothing for your statement. It's just the title. What the commission will be approving is. I'm going to read it. Submit ethnic studies curriculum in K-12 education statement to the county and request the county send out a media advisory. Yeah.
Yes, I'm fine with
okay.
that.
Okay. Okay. Then I will take roll on that. On that then. Okay, so Commissioner Briceño?
Yes.
Commissioner Buck?
Yes.
Commissioner Dobie?
Yes.
Commissioner Farooqi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hamill?
Yes.
Commissioner Leach?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
And O'Neill and Steinberg are absent, and Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then we can move to item 7. Review, discuss, and approve the statement regarding racist and hateful rhetoric directed at Chairman Doe and Huntington Beach City Councilwoman Rhonda Bolton under commission letterhead for immediate release.
And Norma, do you have that available to share the screen? Okay, thank you. As you all know, there have been some hateful attacks on Supervisor Doe as well as Councilwoman Bolton, and we would like to make a public statement as the commission denouncing these actions and supporting that we continue to support the elimination of hate in our community. So this is a statement that, and thank you, Norma, for your work on this and helping us draft this, and this is what we would like to present as a public statement. Orange County Human Relations Commission condemns racist and hateful rhetoric directed at Chairman Doe and newly appointed Huntington Beach City Councilwoman Rhonda Bolton. Last week, our community bore witness to a torrent of racist and xenophobic rhetoric directed towards Chairman Andrew Doe, who is of Vietnamese descent, at the Board of Supervisors meeting. The speaker's tirade was filled with anti-Asian tropes, a true picture of the too commonplace hate activity taking place in our country today. Similarly, the first Black woman to be appointed to the Huntington Beach City Council, Rhonda Bolton, was welcomed by jeers and hateful comments by members of the public. In a recent statement of solidarity, the OC Human Relations Commission committed to continue its mission to seek out causes of tension and conflict, discrimination and intolerance, and attempt to eliminate those causes, quote, end quote, to do the difficult work of promoting respect, equity, and tolerance. The commission believes it too must condemn and denounce all types of hate speech and racism. When an individual is a victim of hate, it is not only an attack on that one person, but an entire community. No one should have to experience this type of vitriol regardless of who you are, skin color, language you speak, where you are from, who you love, or your religious beliefs. Our country is reeling from the devastating effects of a pandemic that surges on. Our communities of color continue to survive the social and racial injustice and inequities that the pandemic uncovered and exposed. If there was ever a time for unity, it is now. If there ever was a time for respect and empathy, it is today. Orange County Human Relations Commission challenges all residents to look beyond our differences and celebrate the diversity that exists in Orange County. And next time hate knocks at our door, let us rally together and loudly shut it out with a resounding, not here, not today. If you've been a victim or know someone who's been a victim of a hate incident, please call our confidential hotline number or report via our online portal. Are there any comments or
no. I have a couple yes. things if you don't mind.
Yes.
In the first paragraph in the sentence pertaining to Councilwoman Bolton,
yes.
I believe that they're the first Black woman. Black should be capitalized.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And in the second paragraph, the nobody should have to experience, just from my writing experience, I believe it should be no one.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I love the idea of the phrase not here, not today, but not today sounds like it opens the door for another day. I would ask that be considered maybe be not here, not ever, or something like that, whatever the commission prefers, but it just feels like not today opens the door for another day.
Thank you.
This is Mike Hamill. May I offer a comment?
Yes, please.
If I just speaking on behalf of Orange County law enforcement, the very last paragraph where it talks about if you've been the victim of a hate incident, please call our public hotline. I would maybe make a suggestion to amend this paragraph to read, if you have been a victim of a hate crime or hate incident, and then say, please report it to your local law enforcement department or via our confidential hotline. And I say that only because I know that, and I can speak for my peers, that we would love the opportunity to document, to investigate, to provide resources. And when we do provide resources, those resources do include resource references to OC Human Relations Commission and OC Human Relations, a nonprofit. So again, if it's a crime, you know, we would very much want the opportunity to investigate that and to bring the suspect to justice. So I would make that recommendation that we add, again, to say victim of a hate crime or hate incident, and then also to state in there to report to local law enforcement or via the confidential hotline, recognizing that sometimes people may feel uncomfortable, of course, contacting law enforcement, so we keep it as an or.
Thank you so much. That's a good point. Norma, can these changes be made on the shared draft?
Chair Matsuba, I have one.
Yes.
So, following what Dot said, the last few words, not here, not today, not ever, is what I was thinking, because I really think it's a little catchy. So, but I also have the same feel that Dot had. So just ending it with, not here, not today, not ever.
All right, thank you. Anyone else?
I actually just have a comment. I actually appreciate that we really tried to expedite the statement. Mm-hmm. And it's just a real emphasis that we need to take a stand. The phrase, you know, not here, not today, I actually thought about it as well. And when I read it or when I hear it, it's actually a reference to behavior that perhaps was acceptable yesterday, a week ago, a year ago, a decade ago. As of right now, we're saying no. And we have to take a stand, whether, you know, because of this situation, and I've had this discussion, this is happening in somebody's workspace. Many of us here, we have our office, we have our area in which, you know, we have to conduct our day-to-day work. And would we allow somebody to come into our workplace to speak to us, to yell at us, to berate us, or our staff? And I would hope all of us would say no. What would we do? You know, Chief Hamill said, please report, call them. And that's what I would do, right? And I was also reported, because of my knowledge, I would report it to the Human Relations Commission. And I hope that these statements that we keep making, and unfortunately we have to keep making it, it doesn't fall on deaf ears. Because each word, each choice of word that we make here, I hope that it does resonate. I hope it resonates with the attendees that we have. We have 12 right now. I hope that it resonates with anybody who comes across the statement, that they know that they can turn to us or they can turn to law enforcement, just as Chief Hummel said, for support, for comfort, for somebody who will take a stand with them. So I want to just reiterate that these statements that we're making, there's weight behind it. The commission's behind you. I'm behind you. You know, our Chairman Tsuba, every individual here, who come here every second Thursday, we come here with a mission. And outside the, you know, meeting, we're also still working for justice, working to address these issues, because they're not going to go away. But I just hope that, you know, these steps that we're taking will make a difference. And I really want to just thank just everybody putting their effort into this and taking time and trying to figure this out, because I really do hope that eventually we'll find some additional tangible steps to fix this. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Lee. I mean, that was Jennifer. All right. So Norma, can we make the adjustments on this, on the shared screen? Am I on?
Okay, hold on. Let me stop sharing here.
Can we make a motion to accept the statement with the edits?
With the edit, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. So then I'll make that motion then. I'll make the motion to accept the statements with the edits from the commissioners.
I'll second that.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
And then...
Yeah, I'll call for the vote now. Okay. Oh, yes. Commissioner Briceño?
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Buck?
Yes.
Commissioner Dobie?
Sorry, my mouse went to sleep. Yes.
Commissioner Faruqi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hamill?
Yes.
Commissioner Leach?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
And O'Neill and Steinberg are absent. And Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Okay. Move then to item 8, which is submit statement regarding racist and hateful rhetoric directed at Chairman Doe and Huntington Beach Councilwoman Rhonda Bolton to the county and request the county send out a media advisory.
So okay. Moved. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Ada. And do I have a second?
I'll second.
Was that Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, I will call for the vote. Commissioner Briceño?
Yes.
Commissioner Buck?
Yes.
Commissioner Dobie?
Yes.
Commissioner Faruqi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hamill?
Yes.
Commissioner Leach?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
And O'Neill and Steinberg are absent, and Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right. And once again, thank you to Norma for helping with drafting this and doing it in a timely fashion. We had hoped to have a separate meeting, but we could not find the time to have it, but I'm so glad that we're able to make a timely response to these incidents. All right. So item number 9.
Okay, is 2020 OC hate crimes report.
That's me. All right. The report is prepared and ready for presentation. The release of the report will be September 17th from 9 to 10:30, and everything has been put together. It's kind of an awkward time with COVID and the lockdown and everything. So, but the data was collected and the report is ready for release. There has been some suggestion or some comments about the commissioners being more involved in the formulation of the yearly report. And I'd like to make a suggestion that we have an ad hoc committee. As far as this year, the report is set and ready to go. The release date is set
but I would like to suggest that we have an ad hoc committee of commissioners to be able to get together and discuss the involvement that they would like to see, the increased involvement or the more participation by the commissioners when putting this report together. So I would like to ask for volunteers to be on this ad hoc and for someone to chair that ad hoc committee. Okay, Commissioner Bisseño and Commissioner Buck, Commissioner Leach, and if we could have, Commissioner Wang. All right, thank you. All right, moving on to
item 10 is the ad hoc update Board of Supervisors proposal.
That's me, Commissioner Faruqi. Good afternoon, everyone. And first of all, I want to extend my appreciation, first of all, to all the support of the commissioners. But I was transitioning as a fill-in chair, and I want to welcome our new chair, Commissioner Joanne Matsuba, just the right person at the right time to lead the organization. And we are all here with you to support the work of the commission along with the staff. So I've been blessed to work alongside with you folks, and I look forward to what we can do in the future. That said, we did have a meeting. We got a call, a Zoom meeting that we had this past Tuesday, the ad hoc committee and the county, from Supervisor Bartlett's office. We had their staff and our staff and Renee on the call, along with our chair, Matsuba, as well. And we were informed that the date for the supervisors to look at and vote on is August 24th. So, but they came back to say that we need to scale back on our phase one submission, because we had submitted the overall proposal that was broken down in phases from year one, year two, year three, and different components within that. But they want us to scale back both in the total overall budget and what are the most essential things that you would like to work on within the phase one, within the $500,000 budget line item. So, what we had proposed and with the hiring of staff and different resources that we needed for data tracking, technology, on and on, we had to go back to the drawing board to make it all work. And we are about to resubmit that phase one part of our proposal. Because of the time sensitivity, we have to do it by tomorrow, no later than Monday. So the ad hoc committee met again amongst ourselves, went through the information, the figures, and what it is that we want to do. Obviously, we want to track down all the hate crimes and incidences and reporting, be able to respond to it timely, have some community organizations, CBOs, or maybe one, or what that may be, to assist the ability to facilitate in different languages, having some technology marketing dollars, hiring at least one staff senior person to lead this, because with our current staffing, they are already overwhelmed and they are doing a lot of work, with our ED Norma leading the charge. This is an add-on, but it is a separate contract. We are working with the existing contract of what we have with the council for our existing staff of three people, or three plus a little bit. So this will be a separate contract as well that will piggyback on the first one for renewal. It'll be a one-year contract that we will be given if everything goes well and we get the approval for 500,000, we get to work on it almost immediately, hopefully within a couple of weeks of the approval on August 24th. So that's the game plan there. We are almost cleaning up our side of it and submitting it, hopefully by tomorrow. You know, myself and our committee members, Amy Bach, Commissioner Amy Bach, Chairman Matsuba, and I think we have Commissioner Lee, I think, I'm not sure. Anyway, it's come again. Yeah. So we'll be reconvening. We are pretty much done with what we have to send over. So that'll be happening hopefully by tomorrow, if not by Monday latest, because they have to schedule it and put it into the package. But, so that's where we are at. Just want to update the commission. Norma, if I've left out anything, or Chairman, please, you can add to it.
I think that Commissioner Bartlett was very pleased with what we presented, and she's looking forward to being able to present it to the board. As Commissioner Faruqi said, they kind of scaled back the budget that we presented, but she is willing to go forward with our phase one, and she's also asking that we present to her, to be presented to the board, our next plan after our phase one, and where we continue, how we will continue this process. So I think I'm pleased to see her support, and she is happy with what we've come up with. And we look forward to her presenting it to the board, and their support as well.
Thank you again, Chairman Matsuba, for giving that. Yeah, we are really thankful to the supervisor and her staff who kind of help us in this process to understand how to make it work. And we are hoping that it will get approved. That's it from me.
Anyone else? All right. We are going to move to item number 11, please.
Okay. Item 11 is Commission Staff Reports, A, 2020 Hate Crimes Report Release Event on September 17th from 9 to 10:30 a.m. B, OC Together Dialogue on August 24th of 21 from 5 to 7 p.m. And C, Commission Meeting Opening Rotational Schedule.
Right. I'm going to have me present the first item there.
Well, like it has already been mentioned, September 17th at 10:30 will be our econ data release date.
I can't hear you.
I can't either.
I don't think we can hear you, right?
No.
You can't hear me?
Not very well.
It's like very low.
It's faint.
About the same.
Half of that.
Yeah.
You heard half of it.
Well, I think jump in and help. Technology these days. So as he was mentioning, and as Jamie shared, please save the date for September 17th, Friday, from 9 to 10:30. Me and I are working really diligently on the program for this. We would love for commissioners to attend and support. There should be a new announcement coming up soon with the actual registration link for the event and a little bit more information around the program. But for now, just spread the word. This is going to be a very, very good event. So please share with your networks. And if you need, a PDF of this, I can send this after the meeting. But On page 11 of your packet, there's also another flyer for a council event. They've been holding race relations dialogues throughout the year, and this is the third one. It's going to be on August 24th, and its focus and theme is race and geography, realities of living in Orange County. The event is from 5 to 7, and it is in a restorative justice format, so you will be engaging in dialogue with other members and other residents in Orange County. These have been very, in the last three that the council has organized, they've been very well attended. And if you're interested in the topic and speaking to others about it, there is a bit.ly registration link, and we wanted to make sure that folks knew about it. Lastly, I believe this started last year around the opening of commission meetings with the quotes by different commissioners. So this has been updated. So the calendar for assignments is in the last page of your packet. Folks, go take note of when you're, you know, where your name is, what date it is, because it's going to pop up in the agenda. it'll be your turn to share an inspirational quote or such or thoughts for those meetings. And that is all I have now. Thank you.
Thank you, Norma.
Chairwoman?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Commissioner Leach.
Thank you. I'm not quite sure where else to bring this up, but this seems like the possible place. I had spoken with Norma a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to bring it up before the commission, if possible, and it has to do with the reporting of the, not just the hate report that will be coming out, but of course the report or the graphic that we get each month on the incidents that have occurred in Orange County. My question is it possible for staff to let commissioners know when these incidents happen in our particular districts and are our areas of concern? This is nice information, but it's very ambiguous when it says 4 total hate motivated events reported in Orange County. I as I mentioned at a previous meeting, I was caught off guard when there was an incident that occurred in my district, and I had to find out about it from the supervisor's office. And not that there was necessarily anything I could do, but I felt like it might be helpful for us to know how much activity is or is not going on in our areas and how we might be able to help gather any more data, or how we might be able to tamp down the tension as is set out by our bylaws and our mission. But I'm just wondering if there is some way that we can be notified as to either hate incidents or hate crimes that are occurring in our particular areas.
So on behalf of the staff, if certain commissioners are interested in receiving that type of information, NEE is able to provide that. NEE actually has been working on setting up a monthly or quarterly informational, newsletter of sorts or emailing that we want to begin to share with cities and police chiefs. So I can imagine that if all commissioners or only certain commissioners are interested, then she, you know, she'd be able to take note and make sure that when she does send out the information per district, that she's able to include the commissioners who are interested in receiving the information.
May I ask the other commissioners if they would find this at all helpful?
I would. Adam Briceño would, yeah.
I would like to see that information as well.
If I could comment, this is Chief Hamill. You know, one thing that I might recommend, and I could probably be helpful in this regard, is, you know, we have a process in place where Orange County Chiefs, on an annual basis, report hate crime information to OC Human Relations, and it's cross-referenced and cross-tabulated against reports that may have already been received. But because of that, because there isn't reporting to OC Human Relations as cases occur, if there are quarterly reports, they may not be accurate. They may not reflect all the hate crimes occurring in the county. So, you know, I don't want to speak for my peers, but it might be worthwhile for me to have a conversation with other chiefs and ask if there's a willingness to start reporting hate crime information, incidents, and crimes on a quarterly basis instead of only once annually. That would help for information to be provided to this group that's more accurate.
Hey, y'all. It's Tanya. I'm going to put on my council member hat real quick. And I know that as a council member, I get a weekly report. And our law enforcement actually includes any crimes that have happened in our city. And for my city, it would probably just be a issue of asking our city manager to have it added to crimes that are already reported. So I would suggest maybe start with what your city already disseminates as far as what's actively happening, and if they already have something in place like a weekly, like what I'm mentioning, it may be as simple as saying, hey, can you also add this other line about specific hate crimes to the weekly information that goes out?
I appreciate that, but with so many cities in South Orange County, I'm not quite sure. Again, and to the chief's point, I agree with that. That, you know, interpretation perhaps is not for me as a commissioner to make. But I guess what I was just looking at is, you know, if it says four, and I think last month it said six, I'd just like to know, are all four of those in all of my South County, the District 5 area? Or were there none there? Or was there one there? And if so, what city, what, that type of thing. So, but I don't want it misinterpreted either that, you know, we get certain reports from certain areas and it's not what we deal with. But I would like something more frequent than chief, even quarterly, because, again, when you're kind of caught off guard, it makes you kind of think, I'd like to, you know, I don't want that to happen again.
I'm sorry, Norma, go ahead.
All I was going to say is that we can, for the current cases that my commission staff handle, we're able to add that additional piece. So I think, Dot, we had that conversation in terms of the data, the information you're going to receive is what is coming through our doors, phone line or portals. But it doesn't give you a complete picture because not all agencies report to us on a monthly basis. Some of them wait till the end of the year, which kind of comes back to what Chief Hamill is saying, is working with different organizations, law enforcement agencies, to maybe get us to that space of more consistent reporting to us. And that could be something that we work through. I know that me, Maureen, and I have been discussing ways to improve that on our end this fiscal year. But for the time being, and your request, we are able to give you a little bit more information on those monthly reports that we're offering through our packet report, such as city, maybe the type, which is already there. But if there's any other non-identifiable information that we can offer, we could send that out to you each via email or such.
And that would be fine, as I say. I mean, right now, I mean, and I'm using this as an example, if you know that there's four of them and you know where they are or who they may have affected or whatever, I don't want long reports, just a report on whether it's in my district or if it affected, you know, Chairwoman Nasba or, you know, Ada or anyone else, just so we kind of have an inkling of where the most activity is going on. Thank you for that.
So, and I do want to clarify that if we are going to share the number of incidents, hate crime or hate incidents that happen in a certain city or district, we're going to offer that information directly to the commissioners and not in our monthly report. And we do it just because, you know, even in our annual report, we don't call out, here's a top city with incidents, because we really,
right,
that's not the type of culture we
want. Yeah. And that's not what I'm asking for.
And
I appreciate you clarifying that.
We will, we can provide that if you need it.
Yeah.
And if you want to have a side conversation with me and I, we could always set that up as well to make sure that we're getting you the information you're asking for and that you need.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, great. Item number 12, Claire?
Mm-hmm. Item 12 is update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
Thank you. I just wanted to spend a minute and talk about what I think is one of the more exciting things in recent years that relates to police law enforcement response to different calls for service. And I believe, especially with this group and your connections, you've probably heard about this. But a lot of discussion in Orange County about how to respond to mental health calls for service these days. And I'll mention only one city in particular, although there's many cities that are talking about this. I'll mention Huntington Beach, because they're really the first ones that have adopted this idea of what I would call a differential response to mental health calls for service. So historically, any kind of mental health call that comes into police dispatch, officers are dispatched that call. And although in recent years law enforcement officers have received advanced training, still not the perfect fit and not perfectly equipped to respond and to handle these calls. And you know, we've seen across, you know, the United States just some really, really bad outcomes of where there's been law enforcement interaction with those who are suffering mental illness. And so what law enforcement is doing now in Orange County is studying different models that have been successful in other parts of the nation, whereby low-level mental health calls of service that come into police dispatch. An example might be a mom calling about her teenage daughter that is experiencing suicidal ideation, no attempts to actually harm herself, no violence, no weapons. The question really is that the best call for us to respond to with in uniforms with badges and guns? And perhaps, trained mental health professionals are better equipped and better suited for that kind of call. And so that's what agencies are doing now, looking at those kinds of models. Huntington Beach recently signed a contract with BYOC for mobile mental health services, and under this model, you have, and they just launched at the beginning of August, under this model you have a trained mental health practitioner along with an EMT. They, you know, wear a polo shirt and a pair of dockers, and they're in a van, and dispatch receives these calls. There's a vetting that occurs, and again, no weapons, no violence. Calls are then redirected to this mobile mental health unit. And so, again, I don't want to speak for any other jurisdictions. There are other jurisdictions in Orange County that are looking at these models, including Irvine. I think it really shows a lot of forward thinking and promise for Orange County law enforcement. And so I just wanted to mention that's being discussed right now. among Orange County law enforcement, and I can tell you that it is being embraced by us as what the future should look like. And I thought it was worthy of sharing with this group.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner Hamill. That's good to know. That's a good path to be on. That's great. All right, anyone? All right, item 13.
13 is the OCSD Interfaith Council update.
Since Rabbi's not here, I'll do the updates. So the next Interfaith Advisory Council meeting is going to be August 17th. It's coming up. It's been changed, but it's actually Rabbi Rick Sandberg is hosting the meeting in person at his mosque. So there's going to be the interfaith experience. So we're going to be featuring representatives from the Sikh, Muslim, Jewish, and Catholic faiths, discussing misconceptions and misunderstandings of their faith. And then Chief Barnes is going to be moderating that panel. I can send the information via email, and then it seems as if it's going to be live stream as well. So if you can't be there in person, you can catch it online. So I will forward that information after this evening.
Oh, great. Thanks, Norma. I'd love to participate. All right, moving to 14.
Next is announcements from commissioners.
Anyone? Well, I would just like to thank Commissioner Faruqi for stepping up as our chair when Commissioner Reynolds left us. And that was kind of abrupt, and I know it was abrupt for you, Fareed, but we really appreciate you.
Thank you.
All of your leadership and the continued work and your dedication to our community and being continued work on the commission. And thank you so much.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
And I'd also like to thank Commissioner Wang for accepting the position as our vice chair, and thank you for sharing your leadership abilities and your willingness to take on a leadership role. And I'm looking forward to working closely with you, and I know that we're going to do great things as we move forward. And I just appreciate you stepping up. Thank you. Anyone else? I will going once, going twice. All right, the meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you,
everyone, for being here today. Appreciate it. Looking forward to our next meeting.
Meeting.
Everyone,
thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.